Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I've got webbed feet. Other than that, I'm fine.
I was fixing to say, you might need to get yourself some fins. I don't think the arc is enough.
I know. The arc's just about ready, and I think we're going to need it.
Yeah. My word. I know we say it like every week, but it just doesn't seem to end. It's like the storms and the rain and the crazy weather. It just goes on and on and on. It's weird.
I've never seen this many tornadoes in my lifetime. In 1 year, I think we've had 95.
Oh, wow.
I think that's what they said.
For this year?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Wow.
They've been all over Texas. I've just, Midland had a couple.
I know.
Half of Pilot Point was blown away. All these other places. It's just, I can't understand it. Then the people that were out the lake, at Lake Texoma, they were in the cooler, the freezer, and in the bathrooms, and it saved their life.
Jeez, I just can't. When you have tornadoes and we have tornadoes, it seems like nobody is safe. No part of the state is exempt from this crazy weather this spring. It's really weird, and we're into June. It's like normally by now things have kind of calmed down, and the storms have kind of passed, but. Golly, I don't know. It's weird. It's so strange that it goes on this late in the year.
It is, and like the ones at Pilot Point the other night, it came on the news that there was a tornado approaching to take cover. Then they said, oh my gosh, there's two of them.
Oh no.
I never heard of two tornadoes, just 10 miles apart.
Jeez. I don't know. It kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. I mean, you can't even mow the grass with this. I mean, the water is just sitting everywhere.
Yeah, the guy called and I said, we've got water everywhere. We can't mow the grass.
Mm-mm.
There's too much water.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, they're not only will they be driving in water, but, then they'll leave tire tracks, they'll sink, there'll be mud everywhere. It's just you can't even begin to even start. And it's so weird. Usually by the time you get to Memorial Day, things have kind of, calmed down and people are out doing the things that they're doing. Well, here we are almost 2 weeks past Memorial Day and it's still waterlogged. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And, we haven't even sheared the llamas. It's been too wet to get him up here to shear them. And now we're having 90-degree weather, and the llamas are not sheared.
Jeez. When does that usually happen? Is that March?
Usually I do it in April or May.
Wow.
And look how far back. It's just rained so much I couldn't do it.
Golly.
I knew he couldn't do it with it raining.
Mm. And you can't put the bouncy house out or anything like that. I mean, you're going to have to, here's one way to look at it. While the kids are on summer vacation, just kind of like take all the water that's out in the yard and just have them swim in it. It's like a little pool.
I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't know.
I know that it's wet and it's been wet. And when you walk on the grass, your feet just, soaks down.
Yeah.
And you can hear it. I mean, it's that bad.
It's just that squishy sound all the time.
It's that squishy sound.
Wow. And that's, it's
In
so
fact,
dangerous.
The grandkids said the other morning, they named me Mrs. Squishy.
Yeah. That's your new nickname, Mrs. Squishy.
Mrs. Squishy.
Wow. Well, hopefully this will kind of pan out or level out pretty soon. I know that we say this all the time, but it won't be too much longer before we're saying, gosh, I wish we could have a little bit of rain. But boy,
that's right.
It doesn't usually go on this late, so I don't know. We may not be saying that this summer.
And a lot of the lakes are closed because they're so full. They won't even let you bring a boat there. The swimming's been disbanded.
Yeah.
People that usually are at the lake, a lot of them, they've closed them.
Yeah.
So that's hurting everybody because everybody wants to go to the lake. They want to get in the water. And there was debris in the water, so that's another reason they wouldn't let people in.
Oh, geez.
Because everything that had blown into the lakes.
Yeah. I mean, this is summer vacation time. People want to, get out, and we're used to going out and doing fun stuff. And when it's closed or, for some reason, a storm has, caused damage or for whatever reason the places are closed, it's difficult to do all those things. So, wow, it's so strange. I don't get it.
And I've been buying duffel bags. Everybody in the family is going a different way, and I'm having to get duffel bags. It's something else.
Oh, wow.
The little girl is going to camp in New Mexico up in the National Forest.
Really?
Yes. Camp Mary White has been there 27 years. She's going up there to the National Forest. And, you know, during the day, it's real hot. At night, it's real cold up in those mountains. So they have to take a sleeping bag, heavy pajamas, an extra blanket, everything in the world. Then it rains a lot. You have to have your water poncho on. You've got to have your riding boots for horses. It's a wonderful experience for kids, and especially girls.
That sounds cool.
And it doesn't cost an arm and leg like in Texas.
Really?
That's right.
That's interesting.
Yes. <It's> like,
I know these things. We've been talking about it for a while, about how expensive these things are. Anything related with kids and camps and all that, the prices have gone through the roof for the most part. So this is actually a cool thing to do, and they actually have reasonable prices. That's rare.
They have very reasonable prices. The camp is affiliated with one of the universities in Lubbock. So, you know, it's a great place. All these women that run it have been going to camp since they were little kids. And they run the camp in the summer. It starts in June, goes to August. So girls have a lot of time they can go, and different kids can come in and go. She's going for 2 weeks.
Oh.
She's never been to camp.
Whoa.
So I think this is a great adventure for her.
So her first camp experience is going to be two weeks
her
long?
Her first camp is going to be 2 weeks.
Wow.
It's so far, you can't go for 1 week.
Yeah.
It's an eight-hour drive.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's a long way out there. So when you send somebody, they've got to go for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You don't want to turn around the next weekend and go pick them up.
Yeah. Golly, when half the time that they're there is spent, you know, you got 2 days' journey between there and back. So you got to make
it. That's right. And they also give you a discount when you sign up for 2 weeks.
Really?
Yes.
How is she going to be with being gone for a two-week span?
We don't know.
Oh.
She's never been away.
It's a long time to be gone, especially for the first one.
It's a long time for your first go-around.
Wow. Well, that's cool, though. I mean, it sounds like she's probably going to have a ball. She'll probably forget all about, you know, that she's, you know, not home. It sounds like she's going to be busy pretty much all the time, which will be great. And it's going to be a lot of fun, too. That's cool.
You've got to keep those girls busy where they won't get homesick.
Yes. Yeah. They have,
you know, their first go around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially if it's something that they like to do. I mean, it's one thing to keep them busy, but it's another thing to keep them busy doing what they like. And so that's
right.
That's
and
be
they
awesome.
Make a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times it's lifelong friends. You meet girls from every state. That's a good thing. You meet girls from different nationalities. I think it's a great thing for kids to get to know kids from other parts of the world.
Yeah, yeah. Summer camp is really, if you get a good one, it can be one of those things that'll stick with you for life. That's cool.
That's right. Well, you better get a good one. You don't want to go to one that you come home telling horror stories
no.
about.
No, although I've had a couple.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I was lucky. I never did. And the children. When they were little, you know, they went to the same camp every year, so they knew what to expect. The boys' camp, you know, was really fantastic. It had archery. It had everything you could think of. Lots of swimming, canoeing, you know, a lot of things that really appeal to kids.
Yeah. It seems like when we were going to camp, there were more camps that had like a variety of things. Now it seems like there's more and more that are popping up that are specific to like baseball or specific to basketball or something like that, where it's like a particular theme where it's not just like a little bit of swimming, a little bit of archery, a little bit of horse riding, a little bit of, you know, this and that and the other thing. It's they're much more targeted and more focused and theme based now, is what it seems like.
And they're expensive.
Oh,
when you talk about a basketball camp or a volleyball camp, you're talking big dollars.
Yeah,
as people pay a lot of money for those.
Yeah, if you get a good one.
Yes, and they start, you know, I think at 12 years old and go to 16 or 17 on those basketball and baseball camps. And they have them all over the country. Like from Argyle, these boys will go to Georgia this summer.
Oh.
They'll go to Florida, and then they'll have games in Colorado also.
Oh, wow. So there's travel, like heavy travel involved.
There's heavy travel. It costs from $3,000 to $5,000.
Oh my word!
Wow. I mean, it's expensive, but all these parents just—they're glad to do it,
yeah.
And they want their kids to get scholarships also to college, and this is another good way to do it. If your son is good enough, they can get into a college on scholarship. This is the other thing: if they're 15 to 16, the scouts are already coming to your camp to look at them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they start early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming to see if your son's got the what they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's why they want under a good camp all year long until they get to that age, that'll have them prepared.
Yeah.
And you don't want somebody's parents teaching you. You want somebody that's qualified.
Yeah, somebody who knows what they're doing. It's terrible to you know, to get into a situation where they're teaching something, but they're teaching, you know, the fundamentals wrong. And so you want
the best
of the best.
And they should look it up on the internet and see what the qualifications of the coaches are.
Yeah.
If the coaches are qualified, you don't mind paying them that kind of money. But sometimes, I know like here, there's one camp that they don't have the qualified leaders. But the one that, you know, I know about, they're all qualified. They have five coaches, and every one of them has been in the majors or the minors.
Mm, yeah.
So that's what you need.
Yeah, get the best. Yeah, and when you have somebody who's actually done it before, it's very different than somebody who watched it on TV or, you know, who like went to a game or two to watch or something like that. These are people who have actually lived it, and that experience that they're drawing from and passing on is almost priceless. So, I mean, it is worth it. Yeah, if you can get
that
a good
foundation.
That
reminds me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be sure and ask you this. Do you know what it costs to go to the Mavericks final game?
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think it costs?
I don't even want to guess. I'm sure it's going to be crazy. What is it?
Between $13,000 and $14,000 a ticket.
No.
Yes.
No.
A friend of mine pulled it up and showed me what the tickets are running for the final deal, and I was in shock. I said, you mean it's... I thought it was $1,000. He said, "No, Faye, it's $13,000 to $14,000.
Wow!
Unless you're a season ticket holder, and then you can get them for $2,000.
Wow!
I did not know people were into basketball, professional basketball, this deep.
I was going to guess like $2,500, but I thought, no, that's a dumb guess. That's way too high.
We're out of the loop. Let me tell you.
Holy moly!
And he showed me the different seats. The nosebleed section was a little bit less, about 11,000. But the good seats are 13 and 14,000. So then they say, how many do you want?
Wow. The nosebleed section is 11 grand. Wow.
Yes. And my hairdresser is going, and his tickets were 2,000 because he has a friend that's a ticket holder, and they got him the discount price. And he said, Faye, are you going? And I just about choked. Not me.
Nope.
You know, you couldn't entice me. I don't care what you had or what you're doing.
Wow.
You know, I don't know of anything in the world I'd pay $12,000 a ticket for.
No. That's, wow.
You
I
know?
Didn't expect that at all. Oh, my.
I would think about what I could do with $12,000.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. It wouldn't be watching a game.
Yeah, and that 12 and 13,000, that's over in a couple hours. And so when it's gone,
I started to say, it's over. Your money's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope you had a good time.
Oh, wow. And you know it'll be packed. You know they'll sell every single ticket.
They will. And there'll be people offering more if somebody will give them their ticket.
Yeah.
I'll bet anything there'll be deals on the internet, people asking for tickets.
Oh, gosh. You know it. You know it. There'll be scalpers all over the place. They'll buy them, and then they'll jack the price up by, you know, I don't know, 50%, 100%, depending on, you know, how much they can get away with. Yeah. I mean, the market demand for that is there's a lot of people that want those tickets, and they'll pay for
them. That's right.
Wow. I'm just
shocked. And it's amazing. And on Monday morning, do you reckon they have any feelings of regret?
I don't know. Maybe it's just
And my
excitement.
Hairdresser said if his wife found out, he was going to be in serious trouble.
Yeah.
When she finds out that he bought two tickets.
Yeah. That's a chunk of change you can't just kind of like easily purchase and have it go under the radar. That's going to get
right.
someone's attention.
Wow. So he's spending $4,000. He's not taking his wife. She wouldn't. He said she would never do anything like that. And I could understand that.
Yeah. Wow. I'm shocked. I that's way more than what I thought it was going to be. But I mean, sports is a big business and there's a lot of money involved. So
there's a lot of money in sports. Everybody should be involved because that's where the money is.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. We have a new website. Be sure and look at it.
Yes. We've got all the archive shows, got tons of information on there. It's all updated. It's wonderful. So speaking of money, usually before the show, we will chit-chat for a few minutes. I mean, it used to be like, 20 or 30 minutes, and now it's turning into 45, and sometimes it's an hour before we even start the show. And so we have not once in any of our pre-show conversations talked about money.
That's right. We have not talked about what we're going to say today, what we were going to do, what we're going to talk about. It's a little late to think about that now.
I know it. So I'm going to ask you, Cole, how are we with money? Since that's the only topic we didn't cover.
We have got several policies that we're bidding on. A couple of them that we thought we had. That $2 million one that we really wanted to do for everybody. We lost that to Coventry.
Oh.
They came in and bid $300,000 over us.
Are you serious?
$300,000, yes.
I can't. How do they have any profit margin after that?
I don't know. I can't. I think it was just revenge. I think they just warned us not to get it, and they took care of it.
Wow.
You know, there's not anybody can stop them. They're just unstoppable.
Hmm.
It's a strange deal. But anyway, you know, we usually get our share, but every once in a while, they come in at the last minute. When the bidding is supposed to be closed, and they'll bid something silly like that. But
wow.
I don't know how much profit they're going to have. Not, it's going to be so thin. But, you know, they just don't care.
Wow.
I don't think they care where they make anything just so they get the policy.
Well, that's probably true. There are some people out there, but you're not about playing games. You're about, you know, actually making money, making sure that there's a profit margin, and you're just not out buying policies willy-nilly just to show somebody. It's all about, you know, hey, we want to make sure that this is going to be, you know, a good return for investors. And so you're never going to play that game. That's for sure.
No, we have to look at it and say, what can the investor make? You know, what's our timeline? How long a policy is it? Is it a term? Is it a whole life? Is there even any premium on it? You know, all these things are really, really important to our clients. So we have to take care of the clients. We have to get the best bid we can, the best policies we can, or just pass on it. You know, we passed on a couple this week. You know, premium was too high. We couldn't do it.
Hmm. And that's important. You know, it's like
premium is just as important as everything else.
Exactly.
The most important thing is what kind of cancer it is. Do they have cancer in a lot of different places? Are they obese? We're bidding one that the woman weighs 200 pounds. She has breast cancer. But the breast cancer is probably not what's going to kill her. She's got lung cancer, rib cancer, liver cancer, and she hadn't died yet, but I don't think it'll be far off.
Wow.
Because it's spread to too many places.
Yeah. Golly. And what stage is that one in? I mean, the
stage
policy.
Four.
I mean, the policy itself.
We're bidding it. We don't know if we're going to get it.
Okay.
We'll know in about a week.
Wow.
But it should be a pretty good policy. It's 30 months, which for breast cancer, that's about right, because she's got all the other kind of cancers that's going to make it, I think, a lot shorter. And the obese part is going to bring that down. I don't know how many people realize that. But the ones that we've done that were obese, they came up pretty quick. Because somehow, when you're obese, it doesn't seem that the radiation or chemo really helps.
Yeah. It has harder time getting
through. Because of the layers of fat, yeah.
Yeah.
It is too many layers. I can't imagine a woman that weighs 200.
Yeah.
Usually it's 130, 150. You know, normal weight. Especially with somebody, she's been in the hospital a lot. But it hadn't taken any of the other off yet.
Wow.
But we're working on that one. We're working on a couple of others. And then we had money go in the bank this week, $1 million for people. And everybody's out of town. Usually when we tell everybody, you know, you had this money go in your account, they say, thank you. Nobody acknowledged it, so I know it's Midland's up to its old tricks. Everybody's gone. They're in either Ruidoso, they're in Wimberley, they're in Austin, they're somewhere.
Yeah, everybody's on vacation.
And,
nobody's checking
And they're
email.
Not reading emails. In May, they never read emails. They just go on their merry way. We always want them to know that they had a maturity, and we tell them as fast as we can.
Yeah.
Because we're glad the money was returned to them. That's one thing. The other thing is we had a bogus deal this week. It looked real on one of our clients, and it said, send $125,000 to Mexico for me.
Ooh.
My accountant, I've also sent this to my accountant. And Flint asked me about it. I said, no, it's not real. We've had this happen before. And I talked to Claudia, and she said, yes, when he's going to move money, he always calls me. I said, well, I've never heard of him doing this. So we called him. He said, no. He said, I was hacked. And they changed just one little letter on this to make it look like it's from him.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and we had this happen about a year ago, and they were trying to get somebody's money. So we always call the person. If anybody says, I'm taking money out, we call, we verify that it's not you.
You know,
we're not going to send money to anybody out of their account.
I know you've talked before about, like at Nevada Trust, when something's happening, they always talk to the actual person to verify. We don't really talk a whole lot about, you know, you do the same thing in situations like this. It's good to point out and good to highlight that that you do talk to them. You don't just kind of rely on something hoping it's true. You actually verify, which is good.
That's right, because, you know, everybody gets hacked. And it didn't sound like anybody that we would be doing business with. First of all, they would have given us a lot of information. If they were sending something, they would have said, out of this particular account, certain things that we would have known. And they didn't say that. They just said, send $125,000 very casually. And it isn't casually when people are taking money out. They want it sent to a direct person. They're going to give us routing numbers, account numbers, everything in the world. And they changed all that.
Hmm.
So we called him. He said, no, I was hacked this week.
Hmm.
So, you know, we do take all these precautions, and we always verify money before it ever leaves anywhere.
Well, that's good, because it seems like there's more and more. I think crooks and thieves are getting more tricky, more sophisticated.
They're getting more sophisticated.
Yes. Yeah.
And most of them are from Africa. I don't know how Africa got a hold of the United States and learned how to do all this.
Huh.
I just don't know.
That's interesting.
And, you know, they tried to take money out of our account about a month ago.
Did they really?
And it was the same thing. Yeah. Philip immediately called And we said, no, no, no. They were saying, you know, send money. So they just think that, I guess, that people are dumb and that they'll believe it.
Yeah, apparently so.
But it was not for me.
A lot of people do. They'll see something and they'll, it's gotten to the point where even if I have an email from somebody that I don't recognize, I more and more don't even open it. I don't even look at it, just let alone not click anything in it, because, you know, that's always, you know, that's always a red flag. That's trouble right there. But now sometimes if you even open one, it can be a little weird. So, yeah, I mean, it's good that you do that. I mean, it's good that you highlight that, too, because security and safety, it should be top of mind for most people. And most people get living their lives and they don't always think about it. And this is like, oh, there's an email from something, or it looks close, or, you know, it looks like their email. It looks kind of like their name. And so that we're so busy, you know, we're so distracted. We just click on things and assume that's who it is. And so it's good that you're there looking out for people. Okay, let's talk about annuities real quick. How are we with annuities? I assume bonuses are still going on, right?
The bonus is still going, and then they've changed a lot of the things we invest in, and that's going to be a lot better. We've dropped a couple. We've added a couple of things that are really going to make it pay off better. You know, it mirrors the stock market. It's never in the stock market. The things I love about annuity, you can have lifetime income off of it. You know, it's as a good average about 10% over the years. I love it that you don't pay any taxes till you take it out. It's all tax deferred. It doesn't matter what kind of an account it is. It's tax deferred. It's going to grow faster. I love everything about annuity. Not only the bonus that you get, the 12%, every time you put money in for 3 years, that's great.
Yeah.
But then I love the return. I love because it's not in the stock market. I like it because it's a safe investment. It's a little bit old-fashioned, but it works.
Mm-hmm. And it's consistent.
And then the kind of annuity you have is really critical.
Yeah.
You know, you want a fixed index annuity. And then the company you do it with is really important. Because a lot of companies have it where you can't just take all the money out at the end. All the companies that we use, at the end of the term, if you need it, you can take the whole thing out. You do not have to take a payout. You don't have to do all that. And a lot of them, you can't get all your money out. You have to take a payout forever. And then when somebody dies, you have to take a five-year payout. Hmm. Not with this. With ours, if somebody dies, you're the beneficiary. You can get it immediately.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's a lot better, especially if you've got a large estate. You should have some of it in annuities.
Yes. The annuity is separate from the estate. And so it's...
It has its own... beneficiaries. It has its own rules, regulations. There is regulations. You can't put 100% of what you own in an annuity. If somebody tries to do that, it's wrong. They're not going to accept it, I can tell you that. Because every once in a while, we think one of ours is going to be turned down because they didn't see all the assets. So, you know, you have to be careful. We do it right, and it works. You know, we've been doing annuities for most of my life.
Yeah. And it's not like spinning the wheel in Vegas, you know, which is a total, it's a total free for all. You know, anything can happen. But with annuities, you know, you want, the whole point is to make sure that people are set up, not to just take people's money at any and all cost. The point of this thing is to grow your money in a conservative manner. And to do that, it's not about taking your last dime. That doesn't work. That's not how it can. It's not even an option. There are regulations, like you say. So when people are looking at annuities, is it, and fix this if I mess this up, but is it fair to say that annuities are pretty much a conservative investment that people can almost, it's about as close as you can get to set it and forget it? It's consistent.
It doesn't take a lot. Mm-hmm. Because an annuity, you can take money out every year. It's not like the stock market. You don't have the ups. You don't have the downs. Your money is guaranteed. It's safe. So, you know, it pays better than a CD. It's got that up at all times. You've got a chance to always make more money. With a CD, you don't. Whatever you put in there, it's a fixed rate. The things I love about annuities It's for widows, for orphans, for anybody, because of the safety factor. You can't lose your money like you can in the stock market. It doesn't. When the stock market goes down, this stays steady. If the market goes up, this matches it. It goes up. Otherwise, it'll hold firm for you. And everybody needs their money that way, where they know the principal and the interest is guaranteed every year. Every year, they lock the interest in once a year.
The principal is not always protected in many other investments, but with annuities,
right.
It is. So you don't lose everything overnight.
That's right.
Cool.
And that's why it's for conservative people. It's got the safety features in it that I love. And annuities get better and better. And the other thing is make sure what company you put it with. Make sure they're an A-rated company. Make sure they've got billions in assets. You don't want a company that's got $1 million in assets, you know, or $5 million. That wouldn't even start it off. You need something that's, you know, $30 billion, $50 billion, $60 billion, and that's A or AA rated. That's been in business a long, long time. The ones we use have been in business over 100 years.
Mm, that's a big deal.
And if you've been in business 100 years, you're doing something right.
Yeah, no doubt.
And this is Texas owned.
Good. That's
we
a
don't
big
tell
deal.
That very often, but it's owned by a Texas company.
Yeah. So you know
these
that
are
it's
all Texans.
It's done right.
It's done right. We can trust them.
And annuities are, and correct me if I'm wrong, but annuities are good for just about anybody, no matter where they are in their investment career. But especially, this is for people like 60-something-ish, 70 maybe, because of
yeah,
the consistency.
60, 70s is perfect, okay. Because you may not have retired to your 70, and you have to start taking money out at 73. So you put it in an annuity, everything works just like it's supposed to. You have to make RMDs if you're 73, of course. But if it's a regular account, you don't have to take anything out till you're good and ready. So you can have two annuities, one for you and your wife, one for your IRA, and it works perfectly. You say, okay, we have to take this out of the IRA. We don't have to take any out of the other one. But let's say you do. You can take it out of both every year, and you can figure out how much you're going to need, and that's how much you need to invest to get the right payment.
And what are RMDs?
That is your you have to take so much once you're 73 out of an IRA. So that's your minimum distribution.
Okay.
And right. It's 3 point something. It's changed a little bit this year, but we always notify everybody that you must take it before the end of the year. And our people with us now that have money with us, we tell them before the end of the year, you've got to keep enough money in your account to take your minimum distribution. Most of our people have an IRA.
Hmm.
90% have IRAs that they took when they left the company, they put it with us. It was $1 million, $500,000, $2 million when they left that company.
Okay. Oh, and there are also, is there 14 or 15 options with annuities?
Yes, I think there's 14 options, different things you can have. So you're diversified, and you should always be diversified. It doesn't matter what you've got with us. We don't want it all in one thing. And like our life settlements, you know, we're not going to let you come in and put $1 million in one policy. That's silly. You have to be diversified. You've got to have more than one. You need several. And when you're doing annuity, the different strategies we've got, you need to do more than one strategy. We have a lot of good strategies. You know, this is a company that's been doing this for a long, long time. So they know what makes money and what doesn't. We did some this last year, two-year strategies. And we did some for a year, some for 2 years. So when they got their statement, they probably thought, oh, we didn't make any money. They did. It's just hadn't come up yet. That second year will be this year. So then they'll find out how much they made on the two-year strategy in addition to the 1 year.
Okay.
So there's 14 different ways we can invest your money. And that is, you know, where you won't have everything in one deal.
And speaking of strategies for maybe somebody who's thinking about coming over, looking at, you know, more conservative investment options, and they're thinking about doing either annuities or life settlements, the way that this is all designed is not for, you know, because you said, you know, earlier, it's not, you know, somebody can't come in and put in $1 million into one policy. It's not going to happen. For those that might think, hey, I'm going to put a whole bunch in one policy, I'm going to swing for the fence, this policy is going to mature, and I'm going to retire and ride off to the sunset. That's not how this is supposed to work. This is something that you have a strategy in place, and over a few years, what happens is your money grows. Your policy matures, you reinvest into another policy, and it matures. And most people are in a number of different policies, so they're in, well, I don't know what, 5, 10, 15, 20.
Yes, everybody's in a lot of policies, and then we just keep rolling it over when we have a. Like last month, we had 4 or 5 million come in, and we roll those over, put people in new policies. They're just starting out. We put their profit in the bank. So, you know, every time you make a profit, it goes in your bank account directly. Nevada Trust puts the money in your account. Remember, the money, the checks are always made to the bank, then the bank puts it in your account. We have so many safety features. I don't think anyone's got as many safety features as we do. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important, you know, especially in the landscape that we live in now.
In this day and time, it's really important.
Yeah. Golly. So is it fair to say, and this is not really a term, I'm just kind of making this up, but with life settlements, considering that, you know, it's kind of like a leapfrog, you know, you invest into, you know, a number of policies, one of them matures, you reinvest, another one matures, you reinvest, another one matures, you, and so on and so forth. Is it almost fair to say that it's almost like compound profit? I'm just making up a term.
Yes.
Okay. And the reason I say that is because when somebody, you know, gets their return, instead of taking that money out, they use that return and that profit to build more profit, get into another policy, and keep going. That's kind of where I'm going with that. And again, it's not really a term. I just made that up. But
you made that up. Okay. Well, we know that when they have a maturity, they're glad to put it in another policy. And they just keep building up their interest.
Yeah, yeah. You've had some of your most, most engaged investors are the ones that have been the most profitable over the last several years. So with that said, how many policies should somebody in general, generally speaking, for somebody who's new, how many policies should they be in, and when should they expect to really kind of start seeing the ball rolling that they're making incredible profit?
Well, after the first 18 months, I'll say that. And we've had some that came due the first year. But usually it's 18 to 24 months for that first policy. Then they see how it works. They put more money in at that time usually because they see that if they do get paid, they see how they get paid. Then they'll see how often they get paid according to what's wrong with the people. You know, we've done several that were 14 months, 12 months, 18 months. And then most of them, I always say they're 28 to 30 months.
Okay. So most new investors, I would assume from what it sounds like, don't necessarily drop into 10 policies right off the bat. They do maybe one or two, see how the process works, get excited about, you know, their profits, and then they reinvest, and then they're in for more. They're like, hey, this is fantastic. You know, I've got all this profit. I don't have to really do much with it. Doesn't take daily activity. I don't have to get up in the middle of the night to see if I have anything left in my portfolio. My nerves are better. My anxiety is better. All I have to do is set it and wait for the policy to mature, get in more. This is easy. It's conservative. I don't have to worry, and I'm making money, and then they get into more policies. Is that about how generally new investors work?
Basically, because maybe they go into two or three, but they put the rest in cash with us to see how it works. And then as it starts working, as they get more familiar with it, they put more money in. And then they'll bring more money over all the time. I'm always having somebody come by and bring $75,000, $100,000, $250,000. I had somebody sell a business. They brought us another $250,000. because they've been with us a long time. They know it works. Mm. And when you know it works, you know you're going to put more money in.
Yeah. And you've got a number of investors that have been with you for decades, right?
That's right. They've been with us a long time.
Yeah. Nice. All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
I'm going to tell you about a man that never gave up, that was tireless on what he wanted to do. His name's Marty Bryan. When I first knew about him, I didn't know his full name. I knew it was Marty, naturally. But I didn't know anything about him. And about 6 years ago, he came out here on Highway 407. That's just a little small highway that runs from Bartonville down to 35. And I saw this building going up, and it said Marty B's on it. And it was a steakhouse. Ooh. And we started frequenting it. But I thought it was just some rich people that came and put a restaurant in. That was my theory on it. Because I thought, you know, it cost a lot to put it in. The land was expensive. So I figured just a couple maybe rich boys. And then I found out the full story. He worked for Cotton Patch Cafe for 12 years. He was with Outback for 18 years. Oh. So he learned everything about restaurants, about food, about management, you know, and he was a manager. So he did real well, but he always wanted to put in his own restaurant. So he was dreaming of doing this, but he didn't have enough money. So he had a property down in Central Texas. He mortgaged that. He mortgaged all of his vehicles. He mortgaged every credit card he could to the max. And then he said his Social Security number finally wasn't welcome anywhere. And he went to his wife, Roseanne, and he said, "Can I use yours?" Well, sure. She put up all of hers. And he had a vision. He was going to create a place close to home. He lives close here, where everybody could come and have a great time, family, friends, celebrate life, and have a great lunch. And he didn't want to put it on the map. He wanted it to be the map. But he didn't have enough money. And he said his faith was strong. A lot of people were pulling for him. But he just didn't know if he was going to make it. So he finally gets enough money by borrowing everything he's got, mortgaging everything he's got, and he opened the doors. The first night, and there was so many customers, I mean, he said it was amazing. Everything was wonderful, and the computers went down.
Oh.
He couldn't process any of the credit cards.
Oh.
He said that was November in 27. He said he went home, sat on his knees, and prayed and cried. He said, I did all this. Mortgaged everything, got it open, then the computers failed.
Wow.
And he said, "Lord, am I done? Am I done?" It's a heck of a story about courage.
Wow.
So anyway, he said it wasn't an exaggeration. He said it's been his whole life getting to this. But then it thrived. The dadgum restaurant took off. He now serves 10,000 customers a week.
Really?
I mean, it's a heck of a story. Now, and, of course, this is in Bartonville, a little bitty town, but he put it on the map. And he now has 6 dadgum restaurants.
Wow.
He has 600 employees.
Whoa, really?
And he's putting in 3 more. Another one out here in Argyle, he's putting a Mexican restaurant in here, and he's going to have 9 restaurants.
Wow.
Now, this is a guy that mortgaged everything he had. His computer went down. He didn't think he was going to make it. And now he's a big success. And he said it's all he ever wanted was to have a restaurant and to be a success. He has 3 children. And, you know, he's a family man. He's done all this. He's been through really hard times. You know, when you're having to mortgage your cars to open a restaurant, you're in pretty dire straits.
Yeah.
And now he has family nights. Oh, and in this little shopping center, now I say a little shopping center, just beside the road, he's put in an ice cream place. He's put in a takeout place. He's got three places right there. He said people will eat his steaks, eat the barbecue, then they walk over and have ice cream, then they go over to his coffee shop. He put the coffee shop in two years ago, and it's a big hit. On Saturday mornings when I drive by, that little coffee shop is filled to the brim.
Wow.
People love his coffee shop.
Wow. That's
and every
amazing.
One of his deals is just a unique deal. Nothing is old standard stuff. Right after he opened, we went there for dinner. The steaks were divine. The desserts were divine. And I remember it was full. And he came by and said hello that night.
Really?
And I was impressed. I didn't think the owner would come by the table. But he did. He came by the table, asked me how we were doing, if we liked our steaks, if everything was okay. And he's just got that kind of personality, you know. And it's an amazing story. And I can't believe it, but he has been in business, in restaurant business, 34 years. Can you imagine?
That's awesome. Wow.
Now, and let me tell you a little bit about his background. He grew up in Lexington, Texas, outside of Austin, about 50 miles. He said they were so poor, money was so hard to come by, that they were on food stamps. He said he felt like his dignity was stripped away every time he had to go to the lunch counter and give that free card to the school.
Mm.
He said he was so embarrassed. And to make matters worse, his stepmother was an alcoholic.
Oh, geez.
She would often lock him and his brother out of the house all day during the summer months.
Wow.
Wouldn't let him in the house even.
Oh, my word.
And his dad had some vices. He would keep the boys at the local bar with him on school nights.
Oh, geez.
So he was having a hard time even making it. Then in 1984, his dad was in a horrible car accident, was paralyzed from the waist down. And he said, God has redeemed his family relationships for good. He said, now he figures his dad's a hero. But he kept his eyes on the prize. He graduated from high school in 1990. He attended Blinn Junior College for 1 year.
Hmm.
And then went to work for Outback. And spent all those years with Outback. But he said he paid attention all that time as how they ran the restaurant, how the food was, you know, all these different things. And that's what's made him a success.
Hmm. Probably when he was watching, he probably identified areas that could be improved for that he'll take advantage of.
That's exactly right. And he said he's decided that June will be Faith and Family Month.
Oh, wow.
So, he's having kids' movie nights during the week, worship nights. He's doing all kinds. He's a family man. And a dueling piano night.
Ooh.
And a Western day to celebrate Dad's on Father's Day. Oh, and he said people come in everything. Sometimes they come on their horses.
Really?
He said, after all, it is Bartonville, and they have a jillion horses over in Bartonville. All the ranchers have horses. So he said, sometimes they come on their horses even.
Wow, that's cool.
You know, it's a heck of a story. I mean, when you grow up that poor, your own food stamps, and you have to give the card to them to get your lunch at school, it would be pretty dadgum embarrassing.
Yeah, it would. I'm just, you know, to you know, even from such an early age, you know, even through, you know, adulthood, you know, to have one thing go wrong after another, after another, after another, most people would have been just like, no, this is a sign. This is my lot in life. Success is not in my cards. And then, boom, to mortgage everything, to borrow everything he could, and then on opening night, the computers crash. It's like, that would be another sign. It's like, oh, my gosh. You know, most
now,
people...
You're just not supposed to be successful. But
yeah.
How many people would say, I'm going to risk everything, even down to the cars?
Wow.
I mean, that's a heck of a challenge because, usually your wife gets a little worried when it gets down to the credit cards and the cars.
Yeah.
But that's... she had faith in him. And when he said, I need your cards now, too, we're out. And she just gave them to him and said, okay.
Yeah. She must have had faith, too, because, you know, for her to jump in with him. I mean,
I think she had a lot of faith in him that, you know, that they could make it. They just had to keep going. But I know that he didn't go to any people to get the money. I mean, he just tried to do it on his own. He now has a partner in it, which makes it a little easier. He doesn't have to do everything himself. But when he started, just him and his wife.
Wow.
And Marty B's has become famous around here. Mm. Everybody knows it. Everybody goes there. And on a weeknight, you know, it's full as well as at lunch and on weekends.
Really? So it's always pretty packed.
He said sometimes in all of his residences, there's 10,000 people.
Wow. That's amazing.
Now, that's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. I mean, 10,000 people a week. I have no idea what you know, like Outback or, you know, some of the chains do, but that's impressive. I mean, I don't have anything to compare it to.
I know, I'm impressed.
Wow. The standalone number, that's cool. That is really cool. Wow.
And he's opening three more.
Yeah.
So, you know, he went from everything mortgage, no money, to this. And I think it's a heck of a story.
And they've got, obviously, steak, and then, you know, he's expanded to ice cream and then coffee, and all of his ventures sound like they're high quality and a big hit for everybody. That's neat.
They are, and they make the ice cream right there. It's an old-fashioned ice cream place.
Really?
Yes. I mean, they make it right on the deal.
That's even better.
And it just opened, by the way. The ice cream place is the last thing to open. because in this little place, he first built the steakhouse, then he built the coffee house. And it has done so well. Then he put a little store and said, this will be just for takeout. So they don't have to go over to the restaurant. They just, right there, they make it and you take it out. Then he put in the ice cream shop.
Wow.
Yeah, and all of it right there together. And so then over in Flower Mound, he opened two more restaurants. So, but most of them are right there and easy to get to, so he can see about all of them right there in that one little place.
Yeah, it sounds like it makes it easy for him to manage them all, but it also sounds like it's easy for customers as well. You have steak, walk across, get some ice cream, walk over and get some coffee without having to, you know, get in the car, drive someplace, you know, have to park, you have to, you know, it's all right there. It's easy to access. That's a great idea. I mean, that's brilliant. That's genius.
And on Friday and Saturday nights, he has a band there that plays for you while you're listening. While you're eating, you can listen to all the good music.
How cool.
And then on the patio, it's got a fire pit on the patio.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a good family place.
So he thought of everything, literally.
He really did. He gave it a lot of thought, especially when he was spending the dollars to do it.
Wow. How cool. That's awesome. And Marty B's has what? How many locations? Six, did you say?
They have six different things, six different restaurants.
Wow. That's awesome.
And they're building three more, and another one's going in Argyle, and Argyle needs them.
Wow. And they'll all be packed. You know it. Oh, wow.
It will be.
I guess, you know, when you have perseverance and you don't give up and you have good quality stuff, it pays off, and people know it.
It does pay off. Mm. It's. I wish I'd thought of that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The money part's what I mean. I wish I'd thought of the money part.
I know it.
Oh, gosh.
I know it.
Yeah.
Wow. And it sounds like he said it. I mean, it sounds like he took all of his experiences and observations throughout the years working for other people, put them all in a big pile, I guess, pulled out what works, discarded what didn't work. And he had the great, journey, I guess, of figuring out, you know, what's going to work, what's going to not work, and how to make this super successful on all levels. I mean, that's being focused in a way that most people aren't. That's cool. That's really awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
It kind of sounds like he's got the perfect setup. He's like the only one that doesn't have to throw in something about sports or pets to make a giant
profit.
That's
right.
Let's talk real quick before we wrap up about the risks with a life settlement. There are two. What's the biggest?
Okay, the biggest one is it could go over and you'd have to pay premiums. We've gotten the premiums down now. They're in just very reasonable. So it's not a big risk, but we have to tell you, it is a risk. So if it goes over, you would have to pay premiums. And we always give you what the premiums are up front if there is any premiums. Lately, we've been lucky enough, we've had some that had no premium.
Cool.
The premiums were paid up for life.
That's neat.
So, and then the other one is, it is not liquid until it matures. You do not get your interest and principal back to the end.
Okay. Although considering that you do have to be accredited, it's not really that big of a deal to investors. So what does it mean to be accredited?
To be accredited, you have to make either $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million, and that's without your home.
Okay.
In Texas, you cannot use your home.
And that's your main residence is what you're talking about.
That's your main residence.
For annuities. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And in Texas, people have several homes lots of times, mm-hmm. but it's the one you live in is the one that okay. you cannot put up.
All
yes.
Right. For annuities, there are still some regulations, but they're not quite as strict, right?
That's right. But there is guidelines we have to go by. Like you cannot put 100% of everything you've got. You have to have emergency money. You have to have money to live on during the year. So we're going to check all that. We have to ask you all those questions.
Okay. And just as a side note, for people, you've had some investors before in the past that have come over, been interested in a life settlement, but didn't think they were qualified, just running through some numbers in their head. They went back, counted up all their assets, and it turns out they were more than qualified. So if somebody is thinking, well, I'd love to do this, but I'm nowhere close to it, it is worth going back and actually taking a tally of your assets because you might actually be qualified, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Because all you have to do is add everything up. If you have a ranch, if you have a farm, if you have a business, add all your assets up. And I'm sure it's over $1 million.
Yeah. A past 401k that maybe you've forgotten about, an old employer or something like that.
We have that happen all the time, that they've got an old one they never have moved. So we go ahead and get that moved over for them also where they can use it.
Cool. All right. So this week is business as usual. No holidays or anything like that. So
no holidays this week. We'll be working every day. We'll be taking investments. We'll be investing people's money this week.
I say that because July 4th is coming up in about a month. So
I know, but we've got time.
We got plenty of time.
We got time.
So if anybody's interested, they should call, make an appointment, come talk to you, whether to get more information, get started, just have a conversation, whatever, wherever they are in their landscape of investment career. They do need to call. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.